Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Shannon from Shannon and the Clan, and you're listening to Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence.
Music is really a beautiful thing, and because, as you know, I make my own music, my band Upon Wings, and for me, it's been a way that I can deal with emotions and with things that, I don't know, it's like, I don't know if I want to say it's therapy, but it's therapeutic to do when things happen in life. A lot of people, maybe they write poetry or whatnot, but musicians, they write music, and that's something that's really beautiful and personal. And Shannon from Shannon and the Clams, I still can't believe this. My friends were so excited that I was going to interview her. And I mean, I've interviewed Metallica and they're more excited about me interviewing Shannon. And she recently lost her fiance suddenly, just the worst thing you can imagine happening. And their new album, The Moon is in the Wrong Place, is basically a tribute to him. And it's just, I really appreciate that she got so personal and poured her heart and soul into this new record, because I do think it's going to help a lot of people who are dealing with grief. It's Ann Erickson, and you're on Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. So go ahead and do it right now. And if you are listening on Apple, please leave a 5-star review. Definitely appreciate all of your awesome support. Great interview in just a few with Shannon from Shannon and the Clams.
Hi, I'm Mijon Zulu, lead podcast producer at Consequence. And we're excited to announce the Consequence Uncut Annual Report podcast exclusively on Amazon Music. As we wrap up 2024, the pop culture experts at Consequence are back to celebrate all the year's best in music and entertainment. This year, we'll be giving fans inside access to interviews with the biggest artists, actors, and filmmakers of the past 12 months. Plus, discussions with the Consequence team about our best of the year lists, all as part of the Consequence Uncut Annual Report podcast. And you can only hear it on Amazon Music. What's more, new subscribers can get 3 months free of Amazon Music Unlimited, which now includes access to Audible's catalog of over 1 million audiobooks with one free book a month. Sign up at tryamazonmusic.com/COS and catch all our annual report content at consequence.net. Again, that's tryamazonmusic.com/COS for 3 full months of Amazon Music Unlimited and consequence.net for our full annual report.
Well, first of all, you, of course, have a new record on the way, which is very exciting. But before that, I love to kind of go back in time and always find out why these amazing musicians who I interview, how they got started. So how did you discover music?
Well, I've always had a relationship with music where it was my emotional outlet and my go-to medicine. I've just always had that relationship with it. And actually, one of my first memories of writing a song, I'm using the term loosely, was getting in big trouble and being sent to my room. So I'm probably 5 or 6, and making up a song about how my mom's not my real mom. My real mom's a queen and I'm a princess. You know, just like a little bit of escapism and something to help me cope or whatever. But that's like my earliest memory of using music as a tool to like self-soothe. But yeah, it's always been a really, really big part of my life. But I didn't start actually playing it till I started playing the bass when I was 24 or 25 maybe. But my high school boyfriend bought me the Dan Electro bass that I still play when I was in high school, when I was 15. And when he gave it to me, I did not understand why he thought I wanted a bass. I didn't even know the difference between a bass and a guitar. Like, I just never saw playing music as a part of my life. And I thought it was like too generous and borderline crazy to give me such a generous gift. But I don't know, he must have seen something in me knowing that I would maybe use it at some point. And about 10 years later, I did. It followed me around and I moved to Oakland and was in college and having a really, really, really hard time. And beyond that first little song I wrote when I was a little kid in trouble in my room, I've always kind of done that, like sung songs to myself, like melodies kind of float into my mind. And then I put lyrics to them. I've kind of always done that, but not ever in a serious way. And on a really dark day in my apartment in Oakland, I just noticed the bass, this bass I've been carrying around for 9 or 10 years. And I picked it up and just started playing it, like, you know, plucking around and experimenting. And it just felt so good to physically be manipulating something. It was definitely like a good place to channel all of my feelings. And I wrote a song that day, my first song on an actual instrument. And then after that, I got like very addicted to playing and started playing all the time. And shortly after that, my brothers really encouraged me to start playing open mic nights because they started to hear these songs that I was singing when they'd come visit me. And so I started to play open mic nights and had no plan of ever doing more than that, ever. And eventually Cody from the Clams, at the time we were just friends in college, he really was going to all my open mic nights too. And he invited me to play a party at his house. And I was way too chicken. I did not want to play for my peers. Normally it like, have you been to a lot of open mic nights?
Yeah, I have.
I feel like a lot of the time people aren't really paying that much or how it felt to me at the time. Didn't feel like anyone was paying attention to me. It felt like everyone was just waiting for their turn to go up and rock or whatever. So I didn't feel as intimidated there. But playing for my peers, people who know me, you know, I just felt a lot more afraid to do that. And he really wanted me to do it. So I thought, well, if I have a little band, I'll be less embarrassed doing it by myself. So I put together a little band, and I thought that would be the one real show I ever played. And that's obviously was not true, but that's kind of the beginning of, and the name Shannon and the Clams is, it was a joke because I was playing by myself for so long just to open mic nights. It was called Shannon and the Clams.
That is so cool. I love so much about that story. So I make music too, and I feel like I'm the same way. I would rather play to 10 people. No, I would rather play to like 10,000 people I don't know than 10 people I do know. Yeah.
Me too.
That's 100%. Yeah, how I am.
I think it's hard for other people to understand. You know, my mom is often like, well, why don't you sing something, you know, at Thanksgiving dinner or whatever. That's a nightmare to me.
Me too. I don't like karaoke. Yeah. I don't know if you like karaoke, but I'm like,
I do karaoke, but I don't like it. And I just want to sing super sad songs, which no one wants to hear. They want fun. They want it to be like fun and silly and lighthearted. In theory, I love it. It's great people watching. But yeah, I don't usually want to do it when I'm actually there.
And I also love the fact that you started playing bass in college, because I did too. I'm not nearly the bassist that you are, but I always felt like really, really late, you know, getting on it. Like, oh my gosh, these people have been playing bass since they were 10. So it's so great to meet musicians who started it later.
Yeah, I think that there's something really great about being a late bloomer. You know, if I'd started playing music earlier, I would probably not still be doing it, or maybe my taste would be so different, or I think it just happened when it was supposed to happen. You know, I think I'm in a different, was in a different place emotionally, maturity wise, and around way more like supportive people than I would have been like in high school or something. And something I didn't mention earlier is everyone in my family, all the males in my family are amazing musicians. And I never had the opportunity to play anything. I don't know why. My mom does not know why, and she feels terrible to this day. But she's like, I don't remember, and I don't know why I didn't let you play anything. I just didn't think, maybe I didn't think you needed to, and I thought that your brothers needed to. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, I really wanted to. They played everything. They played clarinet, violin, stand-up bass, guitar, bass, horn. You know, they tried everything. And I never got to do even one, not even one instrument in school.
Wow.
And they played instruments every single year. And I think that, I mean, I'm grateful for being denied that, it, as weird as that sounds, because I probably would have lost interest or something. You know, I think that like saying, no, you can't, you don't need to, the boys are the musicians, you're not, or whatever, made me, it, you know, eventually built a fire inside of me that was like, no one tells me I can't do something. You know, that's definitely an aspect to my personality.
Yeah. And I think too, sometimes when you're like forced to do something, that might make you not want to do it. So if your mom was like, you got to take piano, you got to take this and that and guitar, maybe at a younger, you know, age, you would have kind of rebelled and not wanted to do it.
Probably. Yeah. So I think that it all happened how it was supposed to. And yeah, I'm happy about how it's happened.
What was the first music that you got into listening, like the first bands and artists that you were fans of, especially women?
Well, when I was a kid, I've always been super drawn to really like emotive singers. Roy Orbison is my favorite of all time, but I love the girl groups of like the 1960s. Like I love the Wall of Sound. I love Motown. I love all the Jack Nietzsche, like the Paris Sisters. But yeah, I'm a big Ronettes fan, big Supremes fan. I just, the way their voices all go together is so special. And I don't know, maybe it's just like, I don't know if that's cliche to say or something, but I really feel like this like magical vibration happens when someone's singing something so emotional. And it's so many female voices harmonizing. I think it really rattles your chest in a really special way. And I've just always felt a deep emotional connection. Do you know that song, Sweet Talking Guy by the Chiffons?
Yeah, I've heard that.
That was like my favorite. I mean, it's still one of my favorite songs, but it was one of my favorites when I was like 5 or 6 years old. And it, like when I have a dream that's something's funny in the dream, it's so much funnier than in real life. Like the way that the laughter makes you feel is like so much deeper. Or if you have a sad dream, like the sadness is this depth that is kind of luckily unreachable in waking life. And if something is makes you angry, you know, I just feel like that, at least that's something I experienced. So this one time when I was really little, 5 or 6, I was having this dream about my boyfriend named Sweet Tony Pie. And he died in a car crash, which is really weird because of my life now. But my boyfriend, Sweet Tony Pie, was racing, you know, it's like a Shangri-La song. He's like drag racing with all these other guys and he dies in this horrendous car crash. And I'm like crying and crying in this dream. Again, I'm like 5 or 6 years old having this dream. And I'm like weeping for my Sweet Tony Pie. And I wake up crying And what happened was my clock radio had gone off to wake me up. And it's the local oldie station, which is all we listen to. And it's actually playing Sweet Talkin' Guy by the Chiffons. But it floated into my mind and turned into Sweet Tony Pie. And when I hear that song to this day, I hurt for my Sweet Tony Pie. You know, like even before my fiance passed away, it's like, oof, you know, that the way that they're able to like emote and move the music with their voices like takes over my mind and body in this, you know, kind of thrilling way. But yeah, that's definitely girl groups, especially like tragic. I always love, it's really weird how my life has turned out, because I always loved all those like naughty girl gang songs where there's like a horrible accident, or the Angels and My Boyfriend's Back. You know, I always loved that like kind of like greaser car wreck songs with lots of voices. That's always what I've been drawn to.
UTIs are the worst. I've been there. One year, I had 8 UTIs. If you get UTIs, then you understand how awful the cycle can be. I was taking all the precautions, and cranberry products, they just never worked for me. I was desperate for a way to be proactive. It was hard on me and on my husband.
It was tough to see her in pain, and I wanted to help.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Spencer.
With Spencer's background in biochemistry,
and our shared frustration when it came to UTIs, we were inspired to start Eucora.
At Eucora, we make innovative urinary tract supplements and UTI relief products. Our effective urinary tract supplements finally give you a way to be proactive.
Feel like you've tried everything? We get it. We have a money-back guarantee so you can try risk-free. If you're not happy, you'll get a full refund.
We're on a mission to help women get their lives back. Ready to join them?
Get 30% off Eucora when you go to eucora.com/audio. That's eucora.com/audio.
I'm so sorry about your fiance. Did you find music was a way that you were able to cope with that?
I think it was a really natural thing, because it was already such a big part of my life and a massive part of his life. And together we have thousands of records. He has like 2,000 records. Mm-hmm. And now they're mine. Whenever I figure out where I'm settling down, I will go get all of our records. Thousands of records. But I found myself listening to only his music. Like, he made so many great mixes. And when we were first dating, he made me, actually our whole relationship, he made me mixtapes, which is very sweet and thoughtful and romantic and takes a long time. But he, I just put all the songs from the tapes. I like made a playlist. Actually, I didn't do it. A very sweet friend did it. And he made mixtapes for his best friends and his sisters. And they all sent their tape playlist to this friend. And she put them all on a playlist. So you can listen to this playlist on Spotify. That's like hours and hours long of songs that Joe put on tapes because he loved someone and was thinking about them and wanted to share a song. So that's all I listened to after he passed away. Like, you know, all the time. Or I would be sitting in silence, barely able to move, you know. But definitely listening to his song choices, I think, affected my songwriting for the new album, which is good. You know, I'm listening to things I would maybe not. I'm like deeply absorbing things in a different way than I normally would, and different music.
Yeah, the new record, The Moon Is in the Wrong Place. So I don't usually ask about titles of records, but gosh, that one is really curious to me. So tell me about the meaning behind that title.
About a week before Joe passed away, he was trying to ask me about, I think he was trying to ask me if Mercury was in retrograde or if Pluto is squared or something. He was trying to ask me what was going on astrologically in the universe. I'm not like huge up on that stuff, but I do find it really interesting and I love to like learn it from others, but I'm not. Anyways, he was asking me, he was like, what is going on right now? Like, is the moon in the wrong place or whatever you're always saying? Like, because everything's going wrong at work. Everything's just crazy right now. But what is it called? Is it called the moon in the wrong place? And it struck me, you know, it was such a, it's funny. And it like is simplifying like all of these really complicated ideas. But I loved it. Just the way he put those words together. And I was like, yeah, the moon's in the wrong place. That's like perfect. I just like loved that idea. Like that's what floated into his head. That's how he interpreted it. It's a bittersweet title because he said that to me like a week before he passed away. And he was calling it that because he was like, nothing's right. Everything's off. Things are wrong. Like everything's breaking at work and nothing's making sense anymore. He was specifically talking about his job and technology, like his computer and his phone was all messed up or something. So when he passed away, I just could not stop thinking about that. And it was like 2 days before he passed away, we played this amazing show. And there was a massive full moon. It was like I'd never experienced such a close feeling moon before. And we played like under this ancient oak tree. And Tootie Cole from Dead Moon played with us, like came on stage and sang. And it was just such an amazing, special moment. Yeah, it was just 2 days later. And that thing he said immediately came back into my mind and was like, oh my God, like the moon couldn't be more in the wrong place. Like nothing is right ever again. Everything's wrong now. Nothing makes sense anymore, you know. So bittersweet. It's something he said that was cute and earnest. You know, he was really trying to get it right. But it was also astute because he could feel that things were wrong. And then, yeah, the most wrong thing ever happened.
It's just so heartbreaking. And, you know, I know that like you poured a lot of that into this record. And I want to thank you because a lot of people who have dealt and are dealing with loss, because I think you always, it sticks with you. Like, I'm sure that it's going to help a lot of people out there that, you know, put that emotion into this.
Thank you. I hope so. I mean, that's really important to me. I mean, it's my way. I mean, writing that dumb song about being a princess when I was little is like, it was what I, that was my way of self-soothing. And that's what music has always been for me. And nothing feels better than when someone shares with me that like a song helped them get through something. That's like, oh my God, my work here is done. It's not, my work's never going to be done. But that's like, if it can help me and help you, that is really satisfying and feels good. I mean, I really like keep saying that music is medicine, but it is. It really is. And I'm really glad that it can, and it can touch people.
It can. It really can. And you worked with Dan from the Black Keys on this. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So this is my fourth record I've done with Dan. So I did my solo album with Dan, Shannon in Nashville. And then the Clams did Onion, and then we did You're the Spider, and then we did this Moon is in the Wrong Place. And it's just every time we go back into that studio, it feels more and more like home, which is really nice. I used to feel really shy and really not uncomfortable is not the right word, but like, I don't belong here. I'm not like a good enough musician. Like, I just felt really like out of my element in there, because it's like every piece of gear is so special. Every piece of gear in there has a story. You know, it's the mixing board from Muscle Shoals. You know, everything has a story and is from somewhere special. And it's just, it's a really special place. But now we all just feel really comfortable there. And going into the studio in this extremely fragile state was intimidating. Or I was afraid of it being intimidating. That's what I actually mean. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was like so sweet. Everyone has been wonderful and supportive and loving. And everyone's met Joe, you know. He went on tour with us a lot. And the band knew him and loved him so much. And he came on tour with, when we toured with Black Keys, he'd fly out a couple times, and when we toured with Dan Auerbach, and so they've all met him. It was a really positive experience. I felt like people gave me a lot of freedom on this album. I think that in the most respectful way, our band's so collaborative, you know, like I love my bandmates so much. And it is really collaborative, although it's called Shannon and the Clams. It's like everyone is contributing a lot. And I want everyone's voices to be heard. And I think that we have a great dynamic. I feel like I'm on fire. You know, like I feel like this extreme energy and this extreme need to be pouring all this like energy I have from this grief and this loss into things, and my ability to compromise is different on this record, and everyone got it. So there's a lot of like, yeah, let's do it. Yes, Shannon, let's do this song. Yes, Shannon, you know, like, I don't know if any of that's making sense, but instead of, I just know it's very, it's Joe's out. It's an album for Joe. And everyone was like down for that and wanted that and knew that how important that was to me and to them. And I'm grateful for that. I mean, I could probably make albums about Joe for the rest of my life.
Maybe you will.
But yeah. Yeah, maybe I will.
It's beautiful. I mean, again, I'm so sorry. I commend you. You are really dealing with it well. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, you know, you're a very successful woman in music. Did you ever feel like early on you had struggles, like any pushback from people because it was like, oh, you know, a woman is up here being amazing and doing all this stuff. And like, this is really like where men have been, you know, for most of history, music history.
Oh, for sure. I mean, things still happen. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's not unbelievable. It's like, of course, women are treated, they have a much harder time just trying to do something, just trying to make music or whatever. But in the beginning, in my first few years, I would get a lot of comments that were like a lot of do you know the term negging?
I don't think I do.
Oh, it's a way that a guy hits on you by insulting you.
Oh, okay.
Like,
then I've had nagging happen.
Like, oh, I'm sure. I bet every girl we know has been nagged a lot. But a lot of like, yeah, you're okay. You guys are fine. You know, dumb stuff like that. Or like, a lot of men trying to give me advice on, you shouldn't play bass. You should get a bass player. I could play bass. And you could just sing. You know, you just sing and have someone else, you know. I actually had this guy who I'm friends with now, which is funny. But the first time I met him, I was playing this great show. And he had all of my 7 inches and came up to me and was like, "Whoa, you're really big. I had no idea how big you were." I was like, lot physically large, because I'm like 6 feet tall and like obviously plus size. But he just felt so comfortable, like discussing my body or whatever. Like, "Whoa, yeah, you're really big. I had no idea you're so large." I was like, "Okay, what does that have to do with the show?" He's like, "Oh, well, I have all your records. I just didn't know you looked like this." It's like, "Okay." And he's like, "You know, I have some advice for you. I think that you should not play bass anymore. No one needs to see you playing bass. You should just focus on singing. And honestly, your bandmates are kind of ugly. You should," which is bullshit. This is a long time ago. But he's like, "You should get some different, like, better looking guys, and you don't play bass, and you get someone else who's really handsome to play bass. And I think that you could be really famous." I was like, "Do you think I'm just doing this to be famous? And who the fuck are you?" Right. You know, but that was like pretty weirdly common. Or someone just, a dude coming up and just criticizing my performance and like telling me, yes, lots and lots of criticisms that there's no way they're going up to dudes and saying these right. things.
Mm-hmm.
Or talking about how talented the guitar player is and being like, "Oh man, your guitar player is so amazing. You could use some work though." You know, just, it's unbelievable what people feel comfortable with, you know.
Right.
With saying to women. And then people totally try to pit women against each other. And I don't understand that. But I know in my early days, I was a victim of that and guilty of that, of feeling like jealous or having certain girls hate me and having no idea why. But me feeling jealous and thinking like, "Oh, they think that they're better than me because their band's more popular." And it's like, oh my God, none of this matters. We all, you know, we should all be like building each other up and like supporting each other. And it's so much more like that now. Like I really feel so much more supportive and supported by other women and like am stoked for them. And it's really sad that anyone is ever feels that's what they need to do or is treated that way. It's very sad.
Wow. Yeah, no, and I mean, I can relate. I've even had like guys be like, "Oh, you host a podcast. Like, oh, you should like ask these sensational questions and this and that." I'm just like, first of all, if I were a dude, like, I don't think they'd be just offering up unsolicited advice. And secondly, I'm just like, it's not my style. But yeah, people have the balls to do that, you know?
They should maybe start their own podcast or like.
Right. It's I've like you go and ask the like, crazy. Oh.
Maybe you should start a band. You should totally start a band.
And get really good looking a bass player, a good-looking male bass player.
Right. But honestly, like, now, that stuff used to haunt me when I was younger. It used to torture me. And now I kind of love it because it's so few and far between. And now I just feel so... Now I feel powerful, and I did not feel powerful at all back then. Mm-hmm. I felt totally susceptible, and it would take me down and ruin a show and haunt me for days. But now I, like, laugh, and I'm just like, you are a fucking dinosaur. You are from, like, another time, and you are at the wrong show, my friend. The last thing that I can think of right now that happened was in Minneapolis. This stage manager for a festival, an outdoor festival. We were direct support, or I don't know if you call it that at a festival, but we were about to play. We were way up there in the lineup. We'd already gone and introduced ourselves to the stage manager and gotten our credentials and everything. And he was a dude, you know, I don't know. He kind of reminded me of those, like, 80s kind of carny tweaker guys that you don't see around anymore. They were, like, guys I felt like you saw all the time in the 80s and 90s. But I felt a little nostalgic when I saw him. But anyways, so we introduced ourselves, and he told us what time to be back by the stage. So I come back at the correct time with my gear, ready to load my gear onto the stage and do a line check. And he comes up to me and says, he hits on me at first, and then I think gets embarrassed because I turned him down.
Okay.
But he's like, hey, are you here with someone? Are you with someone? And I was like, what? What do you mean? And he's like, well, where's your guy? And I was like, what? And then he's like, well, where's your dude? And I was like, what dude? What do you mean? I'm here to, like, load my gear.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're in the band. I literally am wearing my bass on my bag, like a bass backpack. And I'm like, yeah, I'm loading my gear. We just met. And he's like, well, how am I supposed to know who you are? You have another band's gear. And I was like, what? No, I don't understand. Felt like you were just, like, asking me if I was here with my boyfriend. And he's like, no, that's not what I was saying. Well, what, you know, if you want to be here at my stage, you need to have your credentials. And I was like, well, I just met you, like, 20 minutes ago, and I'm wearing my credentials. And he's like, yeah, like those. You need to wear those if you want to be at my stage. And he just didn't want to believe that someone who looked like me would be in a band. I think that does surprise people, because not only am I a woman, but I'm, like, a fat woman and I'm super tall. I think that that's just not, you know, I don't, like, see a lot of me around there, around anywhere, around any stages. So I think that, like, it's maybe surprising, but, like, Jesus fucking Christ, I'm the direct support and just met you and already introduced myself. And it's the 2020s now, you know, right. Like,
some people never learn. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we want to see every type of person on a stage.
Yeah.
We don't want to just see.
Mm-hmm. And you're gorgeous. I mean, you're, like, you're beautiful. And thanks. I think he just was upset that you kind of shut him down right away. Cause guys, ooh, with their, some guys, and definitely not all, like, a lot of guys listen to this podcast, but, like, some guys with the ego thing, like, if you shoot him down, like, they become evil versions of themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I think I embarrassed him. And then I think he thought I was, like, I don't know, but that was very lame. And then he had to pretend like I wasn't wearing credentials, which was really funny.
Looking at Sam, that's crazy. Did he work there? He had to have to claim that, like, oh, you needed your, or did he just make that up?
He was the stage manager.
Okay, I was wondering. Was like, yeah.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Well, you know, I've interviewed a lot of women on here who say that to this day, they'll be on a festival and stuff, and people, like, the backstage will be like, hey, you can't be back here, I'm sorry. They're like, why? I'm in the band. Totally. And maybe they're nice about it, you know? Like, it might, sometimes they aren't. Sometimes they just are that, you know, ignorant still. Like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize. Like, they see a woman and they assume that you're just, like, a groupie or something.
Yeah, no, that's funny. That happens, or that will occasionally happen to me, or because I'm not this, like, maybe what you would think of it as, like, oh, a girl in a rock band or whatever. It's like, I'm not, like skinny, and I just, like, don't look like whatever they think in their mind. Like, they'll allow all these groupies backstage, but not allow me. That pisses me off. Not that we don't have groupies, but, like, bands we'll tour with or festivals and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have to be like, you have to let me back. I actually played the show. Who are all those ladies you just let in? You know, that stuff happens. I mean, that's not the ladies' fault. They're just going somewhere to go have fun. I would do that if I could too. It's the dumbass dudes at the door who are supposed to be keeping people safe backstage.
Yeah, no, it's so crazy to think it's still happening now. But I don't know. I mean, the past few years, sometimes I feel like my grandma used to always say that things would swing, you know, like women's rights. And then kind of, I feel like the past several years, we've taken a step back. So I'm kind of not surprised.
Yeah, there's always a reaction, right, to, like, a big change. Your grandma's right about the swing. But I think that with every big swing and it goes back, you know, I think that some progress does happen every time.
Yes, that's a great point. I love it. She would say that too.
I honestly feel like I get, I have a lot of respect and love. I receive a lot of respect and love that I didn't a few years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that that could be a sign of the times. That could be my own, like, personal growth and how I react to things. And it could be because of now how long I've been actually performing and just, like, having more, like, a bigger variety of fans or something. I don't know, but I just see a lot of positive changes, even with just, like, diversity beyond seeing more women, you know? Like, I love just seeing, you know, more genders and, like, people of different backgrounds and just, like, bands with lots of different kinds of people in the bands, you know, instead of, like, the token girl or whatever.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I know for a fact that I'm seeing so much more of that now than I was a few years ago. And I love that. That I think is very hopeful.
Well, this has been really lovely talking with you. Thank you so much for making the time and congrats on the new record. It's fantastic. Is there anything else you'd want to add?
It's definitely something I've said before, but I feel like it's an important message that if people, like, want to make music, that they can and they should, you know, being someone that never thought that I could, and now this is my career. It's important that people that aren't expected to be the ones to make music, if they have the urge, it's important that their voice be heard. And I mean, I really do think we're starting to see that, which is great. Starting to see it more. I guess that's the last thing I want to say.
No, I love it. That is inspiring. I think that now we're fortunate to have technology where anyone can make the music, but maybe they don't have that confidence. And it's really about like self-expression in your art, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have to admit that in my gut, like that really just hit me talking with her about her fiance, and I feel like I teared up. I mean, it doesn't get any more personal than putting that grief into your music. And I want to thank Shannon. I mean, I said it during the interview, but music is a healer. I mean, music can really help people. So Shannon, you rock. Thanks for putting all of that heartbreak and grief into this great album, The Moon Is in the Wrong Place. I highly recommend that you check it out. Definitely big thanks to Shannon for being on the show. And thanks to you, as always, for rocking right here on Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If not, you're in the doghouse. So just search wherever you listen and hit subscribe. You'll be instantly notified of the next show. Until next time, keep rocking.
UTIs are the worst. I've been there. One year, I had 8 UTIs. If you get UTIs, then you understand how awful the cycle can be. I was taking all the precautions, and cranberry products, they just never worked for me. I was desperate for a way to be proactive. It was hard on me and on my husband.
It was tough to see her in pain, and I wanted to help.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Spencer.
With Spencer's background in biochemistry,
and our shared frustration when it came to UTIs, we were inspired to start Eucora.
At Eucora, we make innovative urinary tract supplements and UTI relief products. Our effective urinary tract supplements finally give you a way to be proactive.
Feel like you've tried everything? We get it. We have a money-back guarantee so you can try risk-free. If you're not happy, you'll get a full refund.
We're on a mission to help women get their lives back. Ready to join them?
Get 30% off Eucora when you go to eucora.com/audio. That's UQORA.com/audio.